Start in Luke in chapter 5, and I'm going to read a little bit here, verses 1 through 11. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon Peter, and prayed that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And they had brought their ships, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all, and they followed him. My message today, my word today from the Lord is for, just like Jesus told Peter, is for us to launch into the deep today. I'm afraid the truth of the matter is too many Christians, too many believers are living and wading in shallow waters because of fear, because we want to be comfortable, because we love our sin, because we just, I don't know, we're saved. We've given our hearts to the Lord, but we're in the shallow water. You ask Angela, Sister Angela, am I in the shallow water? Am I staying too close to the shore? Am I being too safe? Or am I launching into the deep the way Peter did? As I sat and I thought about this, I thought about my life. I thought about my walk and the times that I found myself, sometimes not even in the water, standing on the shore. Or when I found myself in shallow waters, instead of venturing out, instead of launching out into the deep, maybe I would attend church. When I did, I'd be the first one out the door. Because that was the one thing I checked it off my list. I made no time for fellowship. I made no time to just sit in the presence of the Lord. That was my checklist, one thing I could check off. I was a member of a church. I was even active in a church. But I was spiritually dead, spiritually dry, spiritually immature. As Christians, if you've been saved for several years, there should be some growth. There should be some maturity in your walk with the Lord. You should be beyond and past milk and be able to take in the meat of his word at some point. When I was in shallow waters, I knew scripture. As you've heard me say many times, I was raised in church. Grandfather was a pastor. My birth father was a reverend. The father that raised me was a minister. All throughout my life, I knew about the Lord. I knew about his word. But like so many of us, I was a hearer and not a doer at times. Oh, I prayed when it was convenient for me, when I wanted or needed something from the Lord. But when I lived in shallow waters, I didn't have a dedicated prayer life. And my life and the way I walked and the way I lived was a reflection of that. Because I was easily offended, I was easily distracted, and I was very often discouraged in my walk. Instead of faith, I chose fear in a lot of different areas of my life. When I lived in the shallow waters, I listened to the Lord, and I did what he asked me to do when it was convenient for me, when it was what Angela wanted to do. But if it didn't follow my path or my agenda or what I thought was best, in shallow waters, I overlooked that. And I walked in disobedience, even when I knew the things that I was doing was wrong. When I lived in shallow waters, when I stayed close to the shore, to that comfortable space, I didn't have a hunger for the word. I didn't have a thirst for the word. Although I knew how powerful it was, although I knew I needed it, although I knew God left it here for me, I didn't make time. I didn't take time to not just read the word. I would go days sometimes, weeks sometimes, without reading God's word. There would be times in my life when the only time I opened the word is when I sat in the church. When I stayed in shallow waters, I didn't grieve my sin. I was comfortable in it. And I would verbalize, God, forgive me. But in my heart, I had no intention of doing that. I would continue to do what I wanted to do, to feed my flesh, to feed my desires, to feed my lusts. I said I love the Lord. But at times I didn't even show love to my own family, people in the church. I was dismissive towards them in shallow water. I know I'm not alone. I know there are people in this building, there are Christians all around the world that are living in these shallow waters. And just like Jesus invited Simon and Andrew and John and James to venture out into the deep, that's what he's saying to us today. If you pay attention to everything going on around us, the Lord is trying to get his people's attention. He's telling you, I know you're saved, and you may very well spend eternity with me. You may be caught up when I return. But if you don't get yourself, your life, if you don't venture out and launch into the deep, you're going to miss something, something that I want for you, something that I have for you. Launching into the deep, the first step, the first thing, we have to trust the Lord beyond our human logic. You see, Simon was a fisherman. That was his profession. And from what I read in the word, I believe he and his brother Andrew both were disciples of John the Baptist. And when John the Baptist revealed Jesus as the Messiah, Andrew, Simon's brother, told him. So they knew about Jesus. They saw the miracles. But there was still something not there. Like many of us, we know about the Lord. We've read about the miracles. We may have received miracles in our own life. We've seen God's hand in our own life, in our families, in our friends. But yet we still choose to stay in shallow waters. We still don't fully commit ourselves to the Lord. And just Peter, we can take that example from him. Despite what he knew, he said, Lord, we've been at this all night long and we've caught nothing. despite my expertise. I imagine he knew Jesus was a carpenter. How dare he tell me about how to fish? I'm a fisherman. This is what I do. This is my profession. But because I know who Jesus is and what he's capable of, I'm going to put my trust in him. And I'm going to launch out into the deep. I'm going to obey. Obedience over experience is what Peter demonstrated that day. Because his ways are higher than our ways. And his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when he did that, he experienced the impossible. He experienced a miracle. You see, when we show our faith in the cross, in the sacrifice that Jesus made, when we trust in him, when we acknowledge him in all of our ways, and we allow him to direct our paths, there's a miracle there. There are blessings there. There are promises fulfilled in the deep that you are not going to experience in shallow waters. When I say obedience over experience, stepping outside of human logic, I thought about Abraham and the story of Isaac. Abraham waited 25 years to see the promise of God fulfilled in his life through his son, Isaac. And I'm sure it made absolutely no sense to him that God would ask him to sacrifice his son. But he trusted the Lord. And he moved out of his mind, out of what he wanted, out of his desires, out of his will, and he moved into the deep. And because he chose to trust the Lord that day, God promised him seed beyond the stars that he could count in the sky. Blessing upon blessing upon blessing, because he chose obedience over human logic. Think about Noah. In his time when he lived, the earth hadn't seen rain. Mist came up from the earth to water the land and the grass and the trees and all those things. So they were preparing for something that they had never seen, and everybody around them thought they were crazy for being obedient to the Lord. But because of Noah's obedience, he saved himself and his entire family. If we are willing to launch out into the deep, we must first trust the Lord beyond our human logic. If we launch out into the deep, it reveals our need for a Savior, for the Savior. Let me correct myself, because there's only one. His name is Jesus. We reveal our need for salvation. Verse 8 says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. You see, in the deep, many times we want to stay in the shallow because it's comfortable there. It's not always easy to be in the deep. Because in the deep, we are cleaned. We are purged. God removes the things from our life, from our personality that are not of him. We are stripped of the world. And we all of the evil things that we know and experience are replaced with the righteousness of God. In the deep, we are humbled. We are refined. Sometimes we're broken. But we have to trust that process in the deep, because out of it, we're healed. God brings restoration. We are strengthened and we are encouraged in the deep. By a show of hands, how many people can swim? Yeah. When I was 8 years old, my sister and I, we loved going to swim in the summertime. And I have no idea. My sister was 2 years younger than me. So if I'm 8, she's 6. And I don't know why my mom thought it was okay, because we'd done it other times and been okay. I guess that's why. But she allowed us to go to the pool by ourselves one Saturday morning, and no one was out there but us. And she would always tell us to stay in the shallow end of the pool. Okay, okay. But my sister and I had several times that went out there and disobeyed my mom. And this Saturday was no different. We would go to the end. I always had a fascination with deep water. When I was young, I used to watch, I don't know if you're familiar with Jacques Cousteau. He's a French oceanographer and also a film. He made films about all the animals and the creatures in the water. And I just loved that. I was fascinated with it. And when we would go out to the pool, when other people were there, my sister and I would see some of the older children swimming down to the drain, and they would bring out rings and money. And, you know, so we wanted to be in the deep end of the pool. So we would grab hold to the side and let go and grab it, you know. Let go and grab it. And just have fun doing that for several minutes. Well, at one point, I went to grab the edge, and I missed. And I sank to the bottom of the pool. I was in the deep. And with everything that I had in my little legs, when I got to the bottom, I would push myself up to the top until I just couldn't do it anymore. And every time I would come to the top of the water, I'd hear my sister screaming. And she ran, and she, I guess, went for help. And I remember the last time I pushed up, and I knew that was my last time because my legs were weak by that point. As I touched the top of the water, I felt something and I grabbed it. And it was the pole, you know, the long pole with the net that they used to clean the pool out. The maintenance man, my sister had ran to get him, and he put the pole out to get me and pull me to safety. You see, in the deep, I was afraid. And I knew I needed saving because I couldn't save myself. And as believers, we know that. But the same way I had a fascination for the deep and the natural, the same way I had and still do have a fascination with deep sea diving and all the creatures underwater, God has given me a desire to know Him in the deep. It's not always comfortable there, but I'm always safe with Him. I'm always covered. I'm always protected in Him. It's not always easy in the deep, but it's worth it every single day. Every single day. Launching into the deep requires full surrender. Towards the end of those scriptures, verse 11 says, when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and they followed Him. You see, we read this story and we think about Peter and the other disciples that were with him. And man, they experienced a miracle that day. If I asked who wanted a miracle and who wanted a blessing from God, I'm sure everyone would raise a hand. But when you read that it requires you to forsake all, wait a minute. That's not what I want to do. I don't want to give up what I want, what I think I need. But at times, that is what is required. In this situation, when he was called to the deep, in the deep, we have to be willing to fully surrender to the Lord, fully surrender to His will. Understanding and knowing that it is best. I think a lot of times we struggle with that because we think you're losing something. You no longer have control. You're not in the driver's seat. I'm a very type A personality, sometimes to my detriment, because I want to do it the way I want to do it. And as I mature in the Lord, I'm learning that I don't know everything. and I can't do everything. And it's when I rely on the Lord and the Holy Spirit that lives in me, it teaches us. It guides us. It corrects us. It comforts us. But we must surrender to it. Know that if you're not surrendering to the Lord, you're surrendering to the enemy. There's only two choices. There is no in between. What I've learned is surrendering to the Lord, yes, it is absolutely the best decision I have ever made. But in most cases, you think about surrender as being defeat. But the moment you surrender your life to the Lord, you step into victory. Because when he died and he rose, his sacrifice, when he said it's finished, that is our victory. I've given up my way and my will for his. Why? Because God is almighty. He is all powerful. He is all knowing. You cannot fail with when your life is in his hands, when your will aligns with him. It's not saying you won't fall and you won't mess up, because we do. But when we lean to his understanding and when we're walking in his will in the deep, that's where we need to be, saints, in the deep. Peter said in Luke chapter 18, verses 28 through 30, then Peter said, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." And he, being Jesus, said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come everlasting." You know, when I was in my flesh and I read that, automatically I thought about natural things. You know, I'm going to receive manifold, whether it's money or cars or houses or things. And that may be true in some cases. But when I read it now that I'm in the deep, I see so much more than that. The peace of God that passes all understanding. I'm no longer grabbing for things because I'm content with what I have. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm able to live and walk in the fruit of the Spirit every day. And I have the favor of God over my life. There is absolutely nothing like the favor of God in and over your life. I am forgiven of all sin, past, present, and future. When I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I wake up every day to new mercies from our Lord. He shows me grace. I live under grace. It's not about my works or what I do. It's about what he did. It's about what is done. These are the things that I think about now when I read, I'm going to receive manifold more in this present time. I have the Holy Spirit living in me. I want to encourage everyone who came up last week seeking the Holy Spirit, don't give up. Don't let this altar be the only place that you come to the Lord and ask to be filled with the Spirit. And when you just think about when you ask your parents for something, or if you're married, when you ask your spouse for something, or if you ask a friend of something, if it's something you really want, you continue to press. You continue to ask. And you open up your mouth. When you're praying, you can pray out loud. Maybe right now you don't feel comfortable doing it at this altar. But when you're home, pray out loud to the Lord. Open up your mouth and speak to him. Remind him of his promise to you. Thank him as you're praying. Thank you, Lord, for filling me with your Holy Spirit. Vocalize that. And watch the Spirit fall on you. But don't give up, because we need that. We need that power, that dunamis from on high. We need it. Thank you, Lord. Launching into the deep supports our spiritual growth. Luke chapter 6, verse 46 through 49 says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation, built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." A lot of us call on the Lord and we say we're saved, and we know him and we have a relationship with him, but we're in those shallow waters. It's kind of like in the natural, you know, how a tree, think about a big oak tree. The bigger it is and the stronger it is on the outside, the deeper its roots. And you know the strength of a tree not by how it stands naturally, but it's when the storm comes and whether or not that tree is able to withstand that storm and that weather. Same way in the deep. If you're living in shallow waters and you refuse to launch out into the deep the way the Lord asks us to, when those trials come, when those troubles come, when temptation comes, you'll give in because you don't have that foundation. You don't have those roots that only grow in the deep. In the deep, you're spending time in the Word. You're dedicated to time in prayer. You don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. You come to church. You fellowship. You have relationships with your brothers and sisters in Christ outside of this building. Where are you today? Ask yourself, honestly, where are you? Are you on the shore? Are you wading and living in shallow waters as a Christian? Or are you being obedient like Peter was that day? And you've chosen to launch out into the deep. Ephesians 3 and 20 will be the final scripture. "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly and above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." We quote that scripture, and I believe it, and maybe you do too. But some of those things that we're looking and we're seeking God for, you are just not going to receive in shallow waters. You're going to have to venture out to the deep. So I'm encouraging you today that no matter how hard it is, no matter how uncomfortable it is, make up in your mind right now that I'm done with the shallow water. And because I want to be able to withstand in that day, and I want to have the courage and the boldness to stand up for my faith in this world that lives in compromise, that lives against God and everything that is of God. And I know I can only have that strength, that I can only be refined, that I can only be purged, that I can only be cleaned, that I can only have the correction that I need, the strength that I need, if I choose to be in the deep. Amen. If you'll bow your heads with me. Lord, I thank you. I praise you, God, for your word. I thank you for just helping me, God, to share. I hope I was able to share what you gave me to share, Lord. And I just pray, like the parable of the sower, that it falls on good ground, God. That it helps roots to grow, Lord God. That it waters a seed that may have already been planted, Lord God, but that it produces fruit today, God. We want to be fruitful in you. We know that we can only be fruitful if we remain, we continue to abide in you, Lord God. And just as you called Peter to launch out into the deep, Lord God, we hear your voice this morning. We hear your message this morning. God, give us the boldness, give us the courage, Lord. Give us the strength to step out of the shallow water, to move into the unknown, God, knowing in your omnipotence, God, in your omniscient power, Lord God, you knowing all things, being all powerful, being in all places at all times, God, you have the power to keep us, Lord God, in the deep. Help us, Lord God. Help us, Lord God. We can't help ourselves. We cannot do this without you. Apart from you, Lord, we are nothing. And so we ask you, Lord, that you would just strengthen us, God, for the days ahead and encourage our hearts, Lord God, to remain in the deep with you, Lord, so we can receive all that you have for us in this day. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Angela. That was such a great sermon. I enjoyed the way she described that, coming from the shallow. We got to get out of the shallow and get into the deep. When we get in the deep, how God can work with us and bless us and show us him. So good morning, everyone. We thank you for coming in and joining us here this morning in-house. And for those of you who joined us online, we thank you for joining us. Just a few announcements. If you haven't already given, we ask that you please do so and help support our ministry, that we may get the word across all over a dying world that needs to hear the word. And that's what we're striving to do here at Christ Unveiled. And November the 7th is Ignite Prayer. Please make plans to attend. I like the name Ignite because that is how our prayer should be. It should be ignited. And we should come to him and knowing that he can and he will and expecting something as well. And also, if you can come out on Wednesday night, we have our Bible study. We're in the book of Mark. So if you could come out and get the word, and if you can't, we're online. And if you would stand, please, I'm going to dismiss us, and we can get out of here. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the word this morning. I pray that as we leave here, God, that it will not fall on deaf ears, and that we will go home and realize we need to get in our word so we can hear a word from God, so he can lead us and guide us, and not we leading ourselves and guiding ourselves. I pray that as we leave here, God, that we will have traveling mercies, and that we can come back here again either at 11 o'clock or at the Wednesday night. And I also pray that the offering that is taken up, that it will be blessed, and that it will go a mighty way, and that we can do great things for you, God. I pray this in Jesus' most precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.